Life is made up of decisions. Some are large, some are small, and some are uniquely individual, and some are thrust upon us. Either way, the decisions we make at these critical crossroads determine the direction of our life story. Welcome to our podcast, If I Knew Then What I Know Now, Insights Through the Rearview Mirror. By sharing the decision-making process of highly successful people in their own lives and what they have learned both about decision-making and the importance of considering the alternatives, we hope to help you make better and more productive decisions in your life. This podcast will help you consider all your decisions through a new lens. My name is John Kramer, and along with my partner in crime, my brother Paul, we will interview a wide range of successful friends and acquaintances to understand the decisions they have made in life and what they have learned both about decision-making and the importance of reflecting on the process. If I Knew Then What I Know Now, Insights Through the Rearview Mirror, is brought to you by Industry Intelligence, providing decision-making solutions at your fingertips.
Welcome to the premiere episode, If I Knew Then What I Know Now, Insights Through the Rearview Mirror. I'm your co-host, Paul Kramer, and I'm joined by the other co-host, who happens to also be my brother, John Kramer. And we're going to be talking today and in upcoming episodes about the decision-making process. So during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, my brother John and I were spending a lot of time talking, more time than we ever have, and which is a good thing, one of the good things to come out of the pandemic. And we were talking about the decisions that we have made in our lives, some of them good decisions, some of them bad decisions pertaining to our careers, to our lives, to our relationship. And we started to talk about whether there was any context or any framework to the way that we made decisions. And we continued to talk about this, and we did a little bit of research, and we found that if you were to go to Amazon and you were to Google decision-making, there's over 3,000 books on Amazon that can help you consider decisions. Now, I'm not talking about the decisions about what am I going to have for breakfast this morning or what Netflix show I should binge watch this evening. I'm talking about those big decisions in life that are going to truly impact your life story. Decisions, should I walk away from a toxic work environment that's paying me a boatload of money? Or should I spend $250,000 on a law degree? If you look, 44% of lawyers today regret their decision that they spent $250,000 on developing a legal career, because we believe, my brother and I, that people haven't gone through and really considered the decisions that they're going to make. So John and I said, geez, there's all these books, 30,000 books, if you will, on Amazon, or 3,000 books on Amazon, where you can look up to make decisions. But what happens if we were to talk to some acquaintances, some friends, some who are highly successful, some who are not highly successful, about their decisions and how they go about making decisions, and if they have a framework or a consideration set? We said, well, that might be very interesting to listeners. And on top of that, it may be a great benefit to listeners and to see how these other people, as I said, some highly successful, some not so, had made their decisions. So to kick off this podcast series, we decided that I would interview John. My brother John's going to interview me for a later episode. And we'll give a little bit of background on each other and so you get to know us. John has it's hard for me to sum up John's career because he's my brother, so I can't look at it really objectively. I have to look at it subjectively, but he's had a great career. He was really one of the pioneers of this area called shopper marketing in the marketing field. He's held CEO positions. He's really taken over a very interesting consulting position in the last few years. And John and I competed hard for 20 years. We were both in the marketing services industry, and we did a really good job, both of us. And I'm very proud of what my brother achieved. But let me introduce John now in the context of his decision-making. And let me start, John, by asking, you've made a lot of decisions in life. Do you have a construct? Do you have a framework that you've used that you want to share with the listeners?
Yes. But first, let me say, Paul, that I'm excited to be heading out on this journey with you. We've been on opposite sides of the table for most of our careers, and it sure is nice to be on the same side for a change. To get back to your question, I do have two constructs that I almost always use when making decisions. The first is objectives, strategies, and tactics. And the second is now what, so what, do what. Let me start with objectives, strategies, and tactics. This is a construct that I've used for most of my life when it comes to making more tactical short-term decisions. First, I think it's critical to identify your objectives. If you don't know what your objectives are, then it's really hard to decide where you have to go. This is a steady state. So for example, my objectives have been for a very long time, have a ton of fun, change the world, and be able to support my family. This has been my framework in terms of how I evaluate the things that I need to do. But sometimes you need to make longer term decisions, some more strategic decisions. And you need to step back to 30,000 feet and think about, so what, now what, do what. So let me give you an example. I left advertising to join a small consultancy. At the time, I was servicing the Frito-Lay business and I was commuting from New York to Dallas weekly. And it was very difficult. There were times when I would do turnaround flights in the same day, spending almost 8 hours in a plane. I just didn't want to do that anymore. So I had the opportunity to join this very small consultancy. I was the second person in and had a very simple, clear decision. I needed to get out of advertising. I was tired of the travel. So my objectives were to get out of advertising. My strategies were to find this new opportunity. And I joined this small company called Local Marketing Corporation. After 9 years went by, we were doing very well. A number of my friends and that I was working with, employees, came to me and said, I can't do this anymore. I need to do something else. I've done the same thing for 9 years. It's time for a change. And we ended up selling the company to Gray. So these were very clear decisions that drove against objectives. The second one, now what, so what, do what, is a little bit more complex and something that I've come to recently. And I try to apply this to more strategic, longer term decisions. It's a very different construct and it considers actions over the long term. Frankly, of the two, this is a little bit more complex.
Today, more than ever, you need to find the right information quickly and easily. Weeding through everything available is like drinking through a fire hose. Industry intelligence is like having your very own research assistant. The first place I go when I need to access data and insights for a client project or a new business solicitation is industry intelligence. Using their powerful patented technology and unique approach to information gathering, curation, and editing, they put everything I need in one place and serve it up in a user-friendly interface. Why not put a data and insight solution partner at your fingertips? For more information, call Chuck Bolcom at 920-891-5496. That's 920-891-5496. And now, for Rearview Mirror listeners, Industry Intelligence is providing a special offer, a 30-day trial membership, absolutely free when you mention our podcast. So give Chuck a call today. Tell him you're looking for a way to make better decisions. Industry Intelligence, decision-making solutions at your fingertips.
It's funny because every personality is different. I hear you, and you come at it from a really rational standpoint. Objective, strategies, tactics. So what, now what, do what? These are very marketing-oriented terms. I come at it from a much more emotional standpoint. I look at it as emotional and tactical. Because there's an old saying, you can't make anybody happy unless you're happy. And putting myself into a situation where I'm happy and where I can feel that I am contributing has a lot to do with the decisions that I make. I must admit that I don't take such a strategic approach to my decision making. I really try to balance an emotional and a rational approach, thinking about how both are going to impact me. When do you ever employ an emotional side to your decision-making about whether you're going to be emotionally fulfilled?
I don't think you can take emotionality out of any decision that you make. Emotions, in many cases, drive a lot of our actions. But I think that what I'm talking about is putting a framework around how you approach making decisions in your life. And if you start with a framework, think about it almost as a roadmap. You know, if you get in the car and start to drive and you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. If you have,
but you could have one hell of a ride.
If you want to go on a ride to nowhere, but then you're going to run out of gas. So I guess that
translates to running out of time. Yeah, you got to think about that, huh?
So I think that my point is that if you have a framework that you're comfortable working within, now it doesn't have to be something that you write down. It doesn't have to be something that you're slavishly committed to, but it means that you start from understanding how you want to approach making a decision and how you want to approach looking at your alternatives around that decision. Does it fit within the framework of your objectives? What are your life objectives? And when I talk to people about that, I say, look, you can change objectives whenever you want. As life goes on, as you get to different life stages, you can change your objectives, but your objectives are the foundation for everything that you do. And if it doesn't fit into your objectives, then it's probably the wrong decision.
Do you think, I thought about this, John, and I've talked to, obviously, since we've started to talk about doing these podcasts, I've been talking to people about their decision-making process. And I must admit, 9 times out of 10, when I ask people if they have a construct or a framework for making decisions, I get a blank stare. Which makes me wonder whether people actually don't think about decisions. They do have a construct or a framework, but they've never taken a step back to verbalize it or to really truly think about it. So the question is, do you go through this true objectives, strategies, tactics process, or is this something that, since we've been talking in the past 3, 4 months, 5 months, is this something that is just starting to play more of a role as you consider the decisions you've made in your life and the decisions you're going to make going forward?
No, actually, I have employed these processes. If you talk to my family and ask, how does your dad approach decisions or how does your husband approach decisions? If they don't say objective strategies and tactics, I'd be really disappointed. I think that these are absolutely critical. And having a construct, no matter what it is, whether you write pros and cons down on a piece of paper or how you approach them, is absolutely critical. Let me explain. McKinsey recently did a study of over 1,000 business decisions over 5 years. They looked at how decisions were made, they looked at the outcomes, and they looked at the processes. And all of these decisions were critically important. M&A decisions, divestiture decisions, and they queried the team around whether they used rigorous analysis, meaning did they look at financial models? Did they look at investor reactions or those kinds of things? Or did they take a less analytical approach? Did they speak to people who had a different point of view? Did they factor more emotionality into that? And they found that process, meaning the softer side, was mattered more than rigorous analysis by a factor of 6. So how you make decisions impacts everything in your life. And we'll talk a little bit later about this, but life is made up of decisions. And you talked about a little bit of them up front, but there are significant decisions that we make in our lives. And without this roadmap, it's very hard to come to the right answer for you. You need to put, as I said before, you need to put the gas in the car to get to the right destination.
So, John, again, we're focused right now on business decisions, which are critical, career decisions, which are absolutely critical to find your way home, as I like to say. But what about decisions regarding life decisions, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, the community that you want to raise your children in? How do you go about, do you use the same constructs for those types of decisions as you do for your career decisions?
Yes, those two approaches are pretty much the way I always think about decisions. And a lot of times it's not that I necessarily write things down, but that's over decades, that's a way that I have approached the world. So for example, I'm a very emotional black and white decision maker. I jump to conclusions very quickly. And a lot of times, quite frankly, they're not the right conclusions. But if I have my objectives set in my mind, and again, that has always been or has been over the last 40 years, have a ton of fun, change the world, support my family. And to be totally frank and honest, I don't know which of those comes first, second, and third, but those are always the criteria that I look at when I make decisions. And quite frankly, and we'll talk about this in a minute, that when I haven't used that construct, when I've walked away from that construct, and I haven't applied all of those objectives to decisions, frequently I've made the wrong decisions. And that's...
So talk to me how, this is going to be a personal question, if you don't mind. Matt, if we can ask anything you and I talked about. So I'm going to ask you, how did you decide that Amy, your wife, was the right person for you to spend the rest of your life with?
All right. That's a hard one because
you have to go through the objective tactics. So what do what now what?
That was before I came conscious and I made that was probably
Amy's not going to want to hear that you decided to marry her before you came conscious.
That was probably the best decision I've ever made, but it was, I think, with 2020 hindsight, that was more luck than it was consciously applying a decision process. But when I think about it, because I'm so black and white and I jump to decisions, and again, a lot of times I've made wrong decisions because I've moved too quickly. I've always built my environment with a very strong support team in my business life and in my personal life as well. There are people that I have worked with and been involved with for literally decades. And I check in with these folks frequently. So my network, my support network, my resource network is critical to all of my decision processes because these people have known me, they've worked with me, they've been a part of my life, business life, professional life for so long that a lot of times I can get input from them that sets me on a different track. But I'm always coming back to the constructs of objective strategies and tactics, and now what, so what, do what.
So we've discussed that your personality is drastically different than my personality, that this approach that you're talking about, the so what, now what, do what, I don't know if that would work for me all the time. I'm a much more emotional guy. I feel like my gut judgment is pretty good. And I allow that to influence my decision-making. Do you think personality has a lot to do? Do you think your personality, my personality being different, has a lot to do with the way people go about making decisions?
I think that personality is critical. And again, when I've spoken to you about my approach to decision-making, first of all, it's very black and white. It's either good or bad, which I'm not endorsing here. I'm just telling you how it is. And then also, I get to decisions very quickly. I've much like you, viscerally, like, oh, I don't want to do that. But a lot, if I take two steps back and sit down and apply my criteria, apply my process to it, a lot of times I find out that maybe my initial reaction, my first reaction, was not the best one.
Yeah, I'm more of a person who will go and say, I'm going to have a visceral reaction to an opportunity that presents itself. And then I'm going to use my support group, just as you talked about, to try and balance it. And that's why it's important to have people, I believe, around you that are yin to your yang, that are really diametrically different than you are, so that you can have somebody's input affect your decision and have a more balanced way that you make a decision. I agree with you, John. You've got to have really good people around you, whether they're emotional support people around you from your family or their business people around you that think differently. And then I think that you and I have proven over our careers that we are open to people criticizing our thinking, who look at things differently. We welcome those And I think that has contributed to our success. I know that has contributed to our success. But have there been times where the decision that you've made using this construct has blown up on you?
That's an interesting question, and one that I've struggled with, especially as I've thought about our conversation this morning. I think overall, yes, they've worked, but unfortunately, there have been times when things have gone sideways where I've not spent the time thinking about which constructs apply, and in essence, applying the wrong construct to the problem. So let me explain. When I left Gray after they were purchased by WPP, I needed to find another position. I had the luxury of time to make a decision, but it was not any urgency to that decision. But make no mistake, this was a critically important decision. I had been at the same company for 20 years. I'd been in a leadership position. I now was going out in the marketplace to look for my next career move. I've had an opportunity came to me to move to Chicago and join a company that was managed out of Los Angeles, but had a division in Chicago. When I looked at that company, I said, wait a second, they are not structured properly. This is not right. However, they were paying me a ton of money. I had a very good position, and I picked up my family and moved to Chicago. To make a long and painful story short, that job lasted less than a year. And I was now, had moved my family to Chicago. I had bought a house and I, again, was out of work. I knew going into this job that the company was not structured properly, that this was probably not a long-term decision. I did not have a ton of fun. I had no opportunity to change the world. And while I was supporting my family, there were a lot of other ways that I could have done that. So I didn't really apply my thought process. I knee-jerk reacted. I picked the family up and we moved to Chicago. So if I had taken a longer term strategic approach and thought about it either from a now what, so what, do what, perspective or objectives and strategies and tactics, neither one of those were addressed. So I think that there's a need to really think through these decisions that you make. And when you have a construct that you're comfortable with, then it makes it a lot easier to decide if you're doing the right thing or not.
It's so interesting because as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking that we talked to another guest a few days ago, and as we were getting ready for the launch of this, and talked about making decisions for monetary reasons, and that he had made a number of decisions in his career for monetary reasons, and none of those moves that he made for the monetary reasons really turned out to be successful decisions. You talk about the fact that you moved to Chicago for monetary decision, and it blew up. There might be a personality out there, someone who's money is the be-all and end-all of their objectives. And for them, you know, they might be able to exist in any type of environment and be happy if they're making the money. I think for most people, money is not that. Inner satisfaction, family satisfaction plays a bigger role. So you need to try to avoid, if you are that person, making a money decision. But some people do go for that 100%.
Paul, I want to be really clear. I am not saying that making decisions based on financial requirements are wrong, okay? What I am saying is that you need to understand your objectives, right? You need to have a clear perspective on what your objectives are in terms of any decision you're trying to make. Once you understand what your objectives are, then you can deliver your strategies and tactics to address those objectives. And as I said earlier, it is fine to change your objectives based on lifestyle, life stage, et cetera. My objectives today are a lot different than they were 20 years ago. And so as I started my consultancy, a lot of the things that I was looking to do were more about having fun. I mean, making money is not as important today. I have the opportunity to do the kinds of things that I've never done before. For example, here we are running a podcast. And I think that that was, and that in itself, making the decision to do this podcast was a very interesting journey that I didn't apply my constructs against. So here it is, all of a sudden, we decide to do a podcast. The reason that we decided to do a podcast was that I, because of the pandemic, I'm not able to go to the gym. I've been doing a lot of walking around the neighborhood. I find it really boring. So I've been listening to podcasts and have not really found one that I enjoyed listening to. So on one of my walks, I said, why don't I do a podcast? And I'm in a process in my life where decisions are important and I'm thinking about decisions and I'm wondering how other people make decisions. So all of a sudden, we're going to do a podcast. What do I know about podcasting? Nothing. How does it fit into my objective strategies and tactics and now what, so what, do what criteria? I didn't apply that. So the next thing I know, I'm calling you on the phone and saying, hey, let's do a podcast. And you, Schmendrick, go, okay, yeah, let's do a podcast. I find myself one night sitting on my porch thinking that we're about to launch this podcast. I've spoken to friends and associates and said, hey, I'm doing a podcast. And I'm saying to myself, what do you have to do a podcast? Where do you have the permission to talk to people about decisions? You're not a PhD. You're not a therapist. How do you, what are you going to do? How are you going to do this? And all of a sudden, I'm in a state of panic because I'm about to talk to people about decisions and I don't know anything about what I'm doing. So here's a situation where now there's low downside. I agree. And we're having a ton of fun. I agree. However, I did not apply any construct to this. And it, if it was a different decision, it could have been a really big problem. So that's an example. Now, admittedly, it's a small example of what happens when you get in the car and you say, hey, let's go for a ride, and you have no idea where you're going.
That's exactly what we're doing, though, right now, John. We're going exactly. for a ride on this podcast. We have no idea where it's going. But if you do remember, we had a number of conversations as we tried to make the decision to go forward with this. And the decision process was, will it be fun? And the opportunity to talk to some of the people that you and I are going to be talking to is going to be really fun. Two, do we have the time to do it? Yes, we have the time to do it because, as you talked about, a lot with this pandemic, but it's really curtailing some of the opportunities that we normally have. And three, is there going to be a monetary reward in this? Who cares? This is not for monetary reward, but it's for the satisfaction that we're going to have talking to friends and family about and acquaintances and even people that we may not even know about how they make decisions and thereby helping us think better about our decisions and helping our listeners make better decisions. One of the things when I used to charge into new opportunities in the business world, I thought about them in two ways. Is this going to be a critical success and is it going to be a financial success? And a critical success was opening an office in Singapore that really changed the way that people thought about Catapult Marketing, my company. Was it a financial success? No, it was a financial failure. On black and white, but it was a critical success that overwhelmed the financial lack of success. So there are constructs that are, again, I think more emotional. Is it going to be fun? Totally emotional decision.
Except that you and I are similar in a lot of ways, and we do not like to fail. We do not like to do things half-assed. So that's really the question on the table as we move forward with this podcast series. Are people going to be interested? Are people going to be listening? Is this of interest? And that's a question that has yet to be answered as we start on this journey.
I think that one of the things podcasts are great about is asking people to give you feedback. And I'm hoping anybody who listens to this podcast will take the time to give us some feedback on whether they feel that there is a room for dialogue with regards to decision-making and can they get something out of their decision-making from listening to how other people make decisions? Because that's, at the end of the day, what this podcast is going to be all about.
Yep, that's true.
So we talked with this podcast about what our promise is to the listener. And I know that you've got some really strong feelings. I do too, but you want to start and let listeners know, if they continue to follow our podcast, what our promise is to them?
Yeah, I think that we're going to be talking about, obviously, the decision-making process. And I think the other thing that we're going to be talking about, which I think is interesting, is sort of the career arcs of interesting people. Now, not when I say interesting people, I don't mean famous people necessarily, people that have had interesting lives. And I'm coming from a perspective, after thinking about this for a long time, that everybody's got an interesting story. And as we talk to people about their stories and about the decisions that they've made and how they've gotten from where they were to where they are, I think that at the core is going to be something that is interesting to people. And from a decision standpoint, I think, yes, life is made up of many decisions. And I don't really think that any single decision is a make or break, other than the fact that perhaps whom you marry, because I think that there is incredible upside and incredible downside, but nothing in the middle. If you're going to break up a marriage, it's very expensive. And there really is no point in being in a relationship that's just okay. So you've got either good news or bad news in that. But other than that decision, there's no single decision that really drives that the course of your life is made up of multiple decisions. If you can figure out and you can understand a context of how to make decisions and how to think through decisions, you're going to be better off.
Yeah, it's funny. When I think about the people I've known, I think about the successful people and the people who really are not successful, I think that the lack of decision-making is probably one of the biggest mistakes that an individual can make. Just going along and being flowing with the river and not making any decisions with regards to where to step out of the river, which branch of the river to take, and just letting the river flow with them. I think that is one of there's the problem that one can run into in their life journey if they don't make decisions.
And I think that's really important. That's a very important point that you make. And that really takes us full circle. And that's why this whole idea of objective strategies, tactics is so important to me as I think about the things that I do. Because your objectives are your foundational point. They're your touchstone. They're the things that are important to you. So in my life, really, okay, I've really feel and have always felt for many years that this objectives of having a ton of fun, changing the world, and supporting my family have been my core elements, my touchstones of how I look at things. And I have been privileged in a lot of cases to follow the roads that have fit with those objectives. And if I look back over my life, that the decisions that I've made, both in business and in personal life, have been built against those three criteria of objectives. And if you have your objectives clear, what you're trying to do, what's important to you, then all of a sudden, everything else becomes a whole lot easier. Does it fit against those things that are important to me? And those objectives can change over time, but they are your touchstones. They are where you come back to say, does this fit? Does this, what I'm trying to do, does it fit what's important to me? And I think that's a lot of times when I've spoken to people and when I do speak to people, they don't have their objectives clear. And if you don't have your objectives clear, again, it's like getting in a car, starting to drive and not knowing where you're going. And you've got to have a set of objectives that drive the course of your life.
John, look, I don't want to disagree with you. I don't want to be a contrarian, but I do think that you're right. You need to have overarching objectives, but then we need to make decisions in our lives that are major decisions. Life, where you end up in life, is not made up of one or two huge decisions. They're made up of numerous, many small decisions. If you ever get a chance, maybe you've read Into Thin Air, the disaster that was the Mount Everest debacle, where something like 15 or 20 people died, was not because they made one bad decision. They made a number of bad decisions as they were scaling that mountain that led to devastation. Their objectives never changed. They had the objective to get to the top. But when you go through the decision-making processes, and we're going to be exploring all the different ways, my approach is emotional transactional. And in an upcoming podcast, maybe we'll delve into that emotional transactional way that I consider business decisions that I've made throughout, you know, my career, or critical successes versus financial successes. Another way that I've considered either job moves or, well, critical success and financial success is really for making decisions within my business. The emotional transactional was making career decisions about jobs and staying or going or things like that. So I think that people have a number of ways that they think about it, but they don't think about it. You know what I'm saying? They think about it, but they don't think about it.
You're making my point for me, because the people who were climbing Mount Everest, they had a clear objective to get to the top. Where they didn't have clear strategies and tactics, and where it all fell apart was in the strategies and tactics. So you can have your objective set, and you can evaluate decisions that you make or directions that you're going based on your objectives, but you can't leave the strategies and tactics out of the equation, or else you're going to die on the mountain. Mm-hmm. So that's why I state objective strategies and tactics, because your objectives are your starting point, and then how you get to those objectives are driven by the strategies and the tactics that you use to get there. That is exactly my point. So either mistakenly or on purpose, you made my point for me.
What's great about this is that this is our first podcast. And as you said at the beginning, whether anything's there, we don't know. We don't know how long we're going to be doing this podcast. This might be the first and last episode, but I'm hoping that it's the first of many, and that we have an opportunity for you and me to talk about this, for you and me to talk to guests about their ways that they consider their decisions. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think that we have accomplished that because I've had a tremendous amount of fun setting this all up and starting down the path with you. And as you said, after sitting on the opposite side of the desk or the fence for so long, it's nice to be on the same side of the fence with you. I'm looking forward to going down this path. And is there anything that you want to leave the audience with before we sign off for today?
No, I think we've covered it all. And hopefully you'll tune back in next week for our next podcast.
Hey, thanks a lot, John, and really enjoyed it, as always.
You've been listening to Insights Through the Rearview Mirror. Each week, we speak with interesting people, exploring their decision-making processes to understand how these change their lives. Check out our past guests at www.rearviewinsights.com and click on the link to listen on iTunes. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate us, and leave a comment. Until next Friday, this is John Kramer, wishing you insightful and successful decision-making.